So, we're going to go into our first interview for the special kind of May Day program. We are very happy to be joined today by Tim Gooden, who is the former Secretary of Geelong Trades Hall. He is a lifelong union activist with a long history of working as a construction worker. And we have him on the program because we want to kind of have a bit of discussion with him about, you know, why peace is union business. And in fact, Tim was as a trades hall secretary actually, you know, attempted to kind of take up some of these issues. So we want to kind of hear from him on, you know, some of his thoughts and some of his reflections on this. So good morning, Tim.
Good morning, comrades. Happy May Day.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Accidentally, I forgot to turn on Zane's mic. You say Happy May Day again.
Yeah, Happy May Day, Tim.
Yeah, cool. How you been up there in the Big Smoke, right?
Yeah.
Going to the march on Sunday?
Yes, we'll be going to the march on Sunday. And there's actually also another May Day protest today on Friday at 5:30 p.m. But I will be going to the Geelong dinner, and that's going to be organised by Green Left, that I know you're kind of part of organising, actually.
Yes. I'm going to start cooking in a minute, shortly.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good. So, Tim, we want to kind of hear from you about, can you tell us about your time as a Trades Hall Secretary? And I guess, you know, how long were you a secretary, and what were some of the highlights and what were some of the challenges?
Oh, yeah, okay. It was a while ago these days. So I was a CFMEU shop steward in the early 2000s, before the Iraq War. And then I was the assistant secretary in 2003 when the war started. The second secretary at the time was John Krantz. And the local Labor Party person was Gavin O'Connor, and the peace movement did a lot of work down there at that time. I remember Howard was in power at the time, but so I became the secretary in 2005, just before we had our first. The CFMEU moved a motion that the big delegates meeting, combined delegates meeting at Victorian Trades Hall, and we had our first major strike across the state on the 28th of June 2005, and that was the beginning of the Yolwa to Work campaign. It wasn't called it that then, but eventually became known as the Yolwa to Work Worth Fighting For. And that ultimately got rid of John Howard in 2007. So that's how I started. So the first 2 years of being the secretary of Geelong Trades Hall, predominantly most of our time was taken up with that campaign, and which was critical for workers because at the time we're looking down the barrel of individual contracts had started to be introduced and it was just going to be a race to the bottom. So it was incredibly important that the unions spent all their time making sure that that wasn't going to happen. So then I remained secretary up until 2016, and there was a number of campaigns that were involved in over the years, everything from asbestos through to refugee rights and so forth. And it was an incredibly interesting and exciting time. And so I was there 13 years doing that before I thought I was getting too fat and it was time to go back on the tools and join the working class. And get out of the bureaucracy, and which I did. I went back on the tools as a carpenter and ultimately became a CFMEU shop steward again until I retired just a couple of years ago.
Hmm. Well, that's a great sort of history of your time as a kind of secretary. And the next question I kind of want to ask you then is, you know, obviously you've been a lifelong union activist, so you've kind of seen a lot of things. What can you tell us about the role that trade unions have played in the anti-war movement historically? You know, we had the protests against the Iraq War. We also had the movement against the Gulf War. And then, of course, we had the bringing down of South African apartheid, etc. Like throughout history, you know, unions have played an important role in pushing this question of peace and global justice. And what can you tell us about some of that?
Well, look, the unions exposed me to just about most things around the world. My first, I was a BWIU delegate. Building Workers Industrial Union, when they pulled me off the job and said, you're going to go and work on the picket line outside the South African Embassy in Canberra. And I got put on that roster, and which we held for 2 years, and eventually got to shake Nelson Mandela's hand when he came to Australia and thanked everybody. But that whole debate about unions putting picket lines on, the green bands, getting involved in international politics was incredibly important. Because you've got to remember that in Australia, like, probably the two most diverse unions in the world are the MUA and the CFMEU. Our membership base is probably the most internationalist that you can get out of all the unions, and consequently they are the most progressive and follow international issues closely. Particularly the MUA was the first union to take up an issue around the world, and that goes right back to Big Iron Bob days of trying to stop iron going to Japan in World War II. Before World War II, because they could see the writing on the wall. But the state, we're often in conflict with the state. But not only because our membership is diverse, but unions do take a progressive view to war, because it's our members that die. Mm. It's as simple as that. Now, the sons of Toorak don't go off to war. The sons of Frankston and Geelong go off to war. Mm. And then that is the basis of union membership as well, you know. So, but they're not always the first to come out and initiate the peace movement. Often there's a peace movement well and truly before the general union movement gets involved, particularly the upper echelons of the ACTU. And they're very slow to get off the ground when the dead hand of Labor is holding them back. So if Labor's in government and they're making the decisions, then there's a lot of pressure on the broader trade union movement not to rock the boat, as there always is, you know.
Yeah, we've seen that lately with Palestine, yeah? It's been mainly, with a few notable exceptions, including MUA, it's been rank-and-file members that have really been driving union support for the movement for a free Palestine and to get Israel out, whereas the union leadership have been pretty dragging their heels.
Yeah, that's right. There's slow and there's dead slow. Like, the Palestinian issue is appalling. Like, it's 2.5 years now, and Sally McManus hasn't appeared anywhere. Mm. Neither has Michelle. Michelle, once upon a time, would have been the first out on the street, you know. But, the situation's definitely changed. They were slow in the Vietnam moratorium movement, and they did play a role. We mentioned the Iraq War, and there was a big, massive rally just before Howard made the announcement, and And it looked like it was going to really take off to something quite big. People had hopes that it was going to be a big moratorium thing. But what happened was after the war started and Australia was involved, the message pretty much went out that through the media and through a number of channels, that now that Australia is there, we've got to support our soldiers. And that was the message that went out through the trade union movement as well. And so that was pretty appalling, and that really knocked out the movement. Quickly got demoralised. One, because the war had started, despite the big rallies and most of the Australian public saying no, and it not being taken to Parliament and voted on, and then everybody saying, oh well. Now that we're there, we've got to take the nationalist position and support our soldiers and blah, blah, blah. So that quite quickly dissipated. And that was a pretty poor role that the unions did contribute to. They didn't start that, but they didn't help it either.
Well, that leads into a bit of the next question, which you've answered a bit of. How has the ALP derailed the kind of peace movement in the past?
Well, that was one thing, is pulling the national card, you know, the patriotic. We've got to look after our soldiers, etc. And you can see the rhetoric. You can see the rhetoric again today with China. They're making decisions now that are putting more money into military and more money into military spending than they are putting into the general population. And the classic last week before the next budget was taking $51 million off the NDIS and putting the defence budget up by $53 billion. What did I say? Millions. Billions. And so that's not pretty clear to people where the government's priorities are. And now they want to introduce legislation that says my union, the CFMU, which is already in administration, that contractors don't have to have union agreements when they're working on a site where the builder's got a union agreement. So that's just, once again, it's a race to the bottom. And so when they're setting policy and the language that they're using, that starts to set the tone right across the board, and of course the right wing dovetail into that, and they're making out that our biggest problem isn't the $360 billion we're spending on submarines. It's this so-called mass migration, which is less than it has been under John Howard. You know, like, so the unions have got a critical role in analysing what's actually being said, working out demands that are in the best interests of our members, training and educating our members through journals, talks, so forth, and actually taking a public position on some of this stuff. But at the moment, the silence across the union movement is incredible. Now, that's not to say there aren't people that don't care. Before Christmas, we had, led by the MUA again, a peace conference held in Melbourne, and there was six delegates from every union who were invited from each state to participate in that. And that was actually called Making Peace Union Business Again. And so there was a two-day conference where comrades were working very hard at identifying the very things that you're talking about. What's the role of the trade union movement in the peace area? How can we turn it around? What should our priorities be? And how do we protect the working class from the excesses of war? And there are comrades around Australia that are working very hard on that. Small steps, but for those people to come together last December, it was a big step forward.
Yeah. Well, that gets us into another kind of important question, which is, I guess, this question around why is it that trade unions actually need to step up today and revive the anti-war movement? You know, there's been actually some good examples of, you know, trade unions leading the anti-war movement today, with the Italian dock workers last year supporting the aid flotilla to Palestine. But even then, when you look kind of worldwide, the kind of action that we need to see from unions is pretty absent. And so what are your comments on why the on how the union movement can, you know, revive the kind of anti-war movement and why it's important?
Yeah, no, I think we've got a critical role to play. First off, we don't want to fall into the racist trap on the China language. Some unions are benefiting from the big budget spend on military equipment, and that is going to be a contradiction for them. It is how do they look after their members that are working in the defence industry, making missiles, et cetera, et cetera, yet come out with an anti-war program and educate workers as to what can happen to them. So these things have got to be worked through in each union. Members can, where their union is still democratic, can take up issues with motions and putting articles forward. I think education is going to be first having the discussion, and then education is going to be critical. But we, even though, you know, people say, oh, unions are irrelevant, they're only 10% of the Australian workforce, blah, 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 blah. But we have critical industries that are nearly 100% of the workforce are in the unions. And we, us and the churches, are still the only two civil organisations that can move mass numbers of people independently. Although it's pleasing to see the Palestinian campaigns being able to do that, sustain that well by themselves for so long. But the unions can affect critical areas. They can bring much more attention to it, to an issue quickly. And one thing I'll point out, like during the height of the East Timorese campaign to free Timor-Leste, the BLF led a protest across the tarmac at the Melbourne airport to prevent the Garuda Airlines from taking off. And that was a bit like when we put the picket line on the South African embassy. Like there are some civil disobedience things that we can do when we put our mind to it.
What a lawless union, Tim Gooden. What a lawless union breaking workplace laws.
Well, it wasn't our workplace. It was Garuda Airlines workplace, but but people were dying.
Yeah,
you know, there's slaughter in South Africa. There's slaughter in East Timor. There's slaughter in the Middle East. And they're all workers.
Hmm.
They're all workers getting killed, and they're our brothers and sisters, and we've got people here, we've got family there. I don't know how we can ignore it.
Mm.
And for governments to say, oh, you know, you just look after your hip pocket, it's got nothing to do with you, you know, go and watch the football this weekend, that's not the way that the trade union movement has responded traditionally in the past to critical issues that affect the working class. And we're all part of our international organisations. We do work together on a number of campaigns internationally around the world all the time. But when it comes to defending our national interests, some unions very quickly fall in behind government and go quiet, and I think that's pretty much complicit with helping out the people that are doing the killing.
Mm. So, Tim, we might wrap up this interview now. Do you have any? I think it's been very, a very good interview for our listeners, and especially on May Day. Do you have any like final comments that you'd like to make?
Yeah, look, I think comrades, they shouldn't give up. They should continue to discuss these things and where they can with their officials. Try to keep them in line. There's no point in blueing amongst ourselves and being abusive to the officialdom that's in power. What we can do as rank and filers is try and turn them around, improve on them where we can, and educate the workers around us through action and activity is the best way. Just get out there and do it. There's nothing lost from being active. There is a lot of things lost from sitting at home on the keyboard and just worrying about things. And I think there's a lot of good union people out there and a lot of good union officials. Some are stuck between a rock and a hard place and some are giving up. But I think I that can all be turned overnight in some cases. So don't give up. March on May Day. Be active in the union and don't shy away from raising the issues of war.
Word. Now, our mighty 3CR antenna down there near Altona can reach Geelong. So if we've got listeners in Geelong who are keen to come along to the May Day dinner tonight, can you just give listeners details of that?
Yeah, of course, yeah. So 6 o'clock tonight at Geelong Trades Hall, 127 Myers Street. We've got CFMEU activists, rank and filers speaking. The theme of this year's May Day is defending our democratic rights, which includes the unions that have been put into administration. Also includes all the protest laws, like you can't say river to the sea anymore. In Queensland, we've got a heap of people up there on charges, being arrested. In Victoria, the protest laws, same thing, are getting tighter and tighter. It's almost impossible now to run in the election and elections unless you're rich. And the ruling class is trying to squeeze the last bit of blood out of the working class, and we need to stand together and fight back.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, thanks for having me on with us this morning.
Yeah. Well done to your activism, comrades, and I'll see you on Sunday.
Word. All right. See you there.
See you on Sunday.
And that was Tim Gooden out in Geelong. Tim is a former Secretary of Geelong Trades and Labour Council and recently retired from the CFMEU and has been a long-time CFMEU activist.